It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, October 15th, and we are back live from beautiful Austin, Texas, where the weather is spectacular. We had a cold front move through here, so now the weather is really nice. It's beautiful. And it's also the second weekend of ACL Festival here in Austin, Texas. So it's a perfect day for ACL. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is here to make the program run this evening. And we have another great program in store for you. In a few minutes, after we have a brief break, we'll be joined on the phone once again by yoga teacher Steve Kane, who is in Westchester, New York, and he's been on the show several times. And this evening, Steve will talk about some powerful daily practices that we can each do, no matter how busy our day is, to maintain inner peace and resilience to stress. And we know that we can all use that these days. So I'm really looking forward to speaking with Steve and finding out about some of those practices. And later in the program, we'll be playing the interview that I recently did with the Mona Lisa twins, who are in Liverpool, England. And on the interview, they discussed their latest musical project, and we'll be playing some of their original music. And I will continue the discussion of compassion, which seems to be my theme these days. I think we need more compassion to make the world an easier place to live in. And this time I want to talk about maintaining our equilibrium while being compassionate for other people and compassionate for ourselves. So I think it's important that goes along with what Steve Kane is going to talk about, and it's important that we keep that resilience and inner peace while we're being compassionate. So I'm going to talk about that, how they go together. And there's one small change in the program. You might have seen that Heather Kite, the senior real estate specialist, was going to be on the program, but she had to postpone. She's going to be on very soon in another show, so it's not a cancellation, it's a postponement. And throughout this evening's show, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-455-4720, and that's 855-345-4720. Or you can email your questions to me, and I will read them on the air. And my email address is Dr. Mara, that's drmara at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, and the link to the podcast will be posted on my website later this evening, along with any website links that are given by my guests on the show. And you can find that later tonight or early tomorrow morning. But you can also hear the podcast in as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, B-L-O-G, talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from previous programs, to find out about upcoming programs, to listen to the previous programs, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and all of the shows that we've done with blogtalkradio.com is on that website as well, blog, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. Also on my website, you can find out more about my video consulting service and read my blogs. I have a recent blog. You can go ahead and read the blogs from thriveglobal.com, HuffingtonPost.com, and any other place where I have published. And you can also find out about my upcoming book. And to get up-to-the-minute updates, go to my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And for updates on my book, go to my other Facebook page, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages, and I have a specialty of working with seniors and for caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the really great Veterans Resource Center called Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this wonderful resource for veterans and for veterans' families, check out their website at heroesnightout.org. I've also recently begun to do internet consulting. So I'll talk more about that later in the program. And if you're interested, take a look at my website and you can read a little bit about it. And if you want to contact me, if you have a question, send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com, or go through my website, or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909 or send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations. StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break. Let's play a couple of our sponsors' commercials. And when we come back, yoga teacher Steve Kane will be on the phone talking to us about some powerful daily practices to maintain inner peace and resilience to stress. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone from Westchester, New York, once again, we have yoga teacher Steve Kane. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mara. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me back on the program.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. It's always interesting when you're on the program. So,
well, thanks.
So for people who haven't heard you on the show before or don't know you, maybe you can give a little bit of your background.
Sure. I teach at Yoga Shivaya, a yoga studio in Tarrytown, New York. I've been practicing yoga for about 15 years and teaching for about 5 years. And then outside of that, I run a creative communications firm that does a lot of work in medical education, web technology, and I'm a father of a 19-year-old daughter and a 22-year-old son.
Okay. All right. And, you know, you've been on the program, like I said, several times, and we've talked about yoga and how it increases happiness and quiets our mind. And you can talk a little bit more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I believe that yoga can be a real source of bliss, you know, the sense of developing inner peace. So, you know, while a lot of people turn to yoga because it'll help you get stronger and more flexible and you'll have more balance, I think that having a yoga magazine body is actually just a side effect of the practice, not actually the main goal. You know, for me, yoga is really about learning to cultivate that sense of inner peace, and less about, you know, any kind of outward practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens when you connect your mind, your body, and your breath so that you start to feel more integrated. You know, there's more of a sense of being content in each moment, no matter what's going on. So,
mm-hmm, go on.
You got a question?
No, go on.
So, you know, last time we spoke about how yoga can help you disassociate from your thoughts by switching your awareness from your thoughts and emotions to the sensations of your body and your breath, which is incredibly liberating because you can finally free yourself from, you know, what's called the chattering monkey mind, you know, that constant neurotic chatter,
mm-hmm,
which is just part of being a human being.
Right.
So, you know, the more you practice, you start to realize that your thoughts are just, you know, other objects in your field of your consciousness. So there's this sense that, you know, there's this other integrated whole that's aware of what the sensations of your body feel like, the sensations of your breath feel like, and your thoughts and your emotions are just other things, you know, that you're aware of. They're not, you know, they're not you. And I think that awareness, that little sense of distance from your thoughts and your emotions can be incredibly powerful because, you know, then you're no longer ruled by them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that happens is that, you know, you start to, by disassociating from your thoughts and from your emotions, you start to associate instead with this deeper, more centered, more blissful state of consciousness that you feel at the end of yoga practice. So if you've done, you know, any kind of yoga, at the end you usually do some shavasana where you're, you know, you're lying on your back and you're in this kind of deep state. You're not asleep, you're still aware, but you're alert and relaxed. So that kind of alert, relaxed consciousness starts to become the new normal.
Right. And it feels great. But then,
<That's> right.
But then
right.
What happens when you leave the yoga class and, you know, you get stuck in traffic or you start worrying about, you know, all the things you have to do?
Right. You start, you know, as you leave, your thoughts start to flood back in, your to-do list or, you know, thoughts of the past or the future. and you're back to being a neurotic human being again. So that's actually why I wanted to talk today, which is how do you extend that? You know, how do you extend that sense of inner peace through the rest of your week when you're not in yoga class?
Yeah, so that's a good question. How do we do that?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing I wanted to talk about specifically is this idea of a daily practice. But, you know, to backstep for a little bit, you know, there's been a lot of research recently about how mindfulness practices in general can help reduce stress. You know, they help cultivate the sense of inner peace. They can even reduce chronic pain and, interestingly, increase longevity. So, you know, this stuff is grounded in research. You know, more and more, there's been clinical research pointing to the fact that, you know, any of these mindfulness practices, actually doesn't even have to be yoga. It could be, you know, Zen meditation are really beneficial.
Right.
But so, you know, specifically a daily practice, I guess it's this idea of threading the sense of inner peace through the rest of the week and helping that become the new normal. But when I first heard about it, like I said, I've been practicing yoga for a long time now. And, you know, when I first heard about it, I instantly kind of put up some barriers in my head, you know, that, you know, it was too hard, just too much work, and that, you know, I really needed an instructor to guide me, that I couldn't just do a practice on my own. But, you know, those things actually aren't true. I've experimented with different forms of it, but it really almost doesn't matter. If you just do a little bit of movement, you do a little bit of a breathing practice, and then you do a little bit of meditation, you know, even if you're only committing 5 minutes a day, it can actually, you know, kind of set a state of consciousness that's, you know, more grounded than if you don't do it. So, this really has become part of my life at this point. And, you know, if I'm rushing around, if I've got something to go to first thing in the morning, or if I'm running late, trying to just squeeze out a few minutes can, you know, actually help me stay grounded as I'm, you know, sitting in traffic, rushing off to a meeting or whatever. And it doesn't need to be complicated. You don't need to, you know, have a big, complicated, sweaty workout or anything. But it does have a big impact on my sense of emotional well-being. So I think it's a really good investment of time.
Yeah, you know, and I think we had this conversation when I was in New York last time, and I really wanted you to come on and talk about it because, you know, since I started having a morning practice, which is, like you said, doesn't have to be like a whole yoga routine, and a lot of times I don't have time for that in the morning.
Right.
But just having something that I do in the morning to calm me down makes a huge difference in the day. So I'm very excited that you're talking about this.
It's great that you're doing that. I guess that's what the offering is. So, you know, just try it for a week. You know, so anybody who's listening, we'll talk about some specific practices that you can do, but see if you can just, you know, dedicate anywhere from 5 minutes to even 15 minutes each morning for a week, and then just see how it makes you feel. And if it works, keep doing it. And if it doesn't work, then it's not for you.
So some people might think that that's really not a lot of time.
How's that going to
make a difference?
Well, that's the thing that's really surprising for me is how much of a difference it made. My average practice is about 10 minutes. So I'll do, you know, 6 slow vinyasa flows, which takes about 5 minutes. And then I'll sit and focus on my breath and meditate for another 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't been to a vinyasa class, vinyasa flow is a series of movements starting from standing, and you go through a forward bend, a lunge, down dog, and you get down to your hands and knees and go down to cobra and then back up to down dog, a lunge on the other side and back up to standing. And, you know, do six of those, you know, slowly and just kind of anchoring your awareness on what your body feels like in the movements. And that's basically the asana or the, you know, the physical part of this daily practice. And then, you know, after that, we'll talk about some, you know, breathing and meditation practices, but, you know, that's kind of a nice thing to try. And in the reason why the morning is important is it just, as I said earlier, it grounds you through the rest of the day. So, you know, I sometimes don't even have time in the morning for that, so I'll do it later in the day, but then I haven't really benefited from, you know, that grounding effect until I've actually done the practice. So if once you've started to build up some stress during the day, it really won't have as much of an impact. But if you do it, you know, kind of first thing, then, you know, you get the biggest benefit from it.
Right, right. I mean, it's kind of like I don't have time to eat. You know, if I don't have time to eat in the morning and I skip breakfast and I eat later in the day, it'll satisfy my hunger, but I didn't get the same benefit of eating breakfast.
Well, that's interesting. That's a good analogy. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, and I think, look, I think anyone who's been practicing yoga will, you know, kind of, you know, you start to associate with that sense of inner peace and equilibrium, and then, you know, doing this, you'll find that you can find it a lot faster than you would in class. I mean, I think that that's the surprising part about it is just really how little it takes. So, you know, if the vinyasa isn't really something you want to do, you can just do some sun breaths or sun salutations. You can lie on your back and maybe do a moving bridge and then do some leg stretches and a twist. There's a kind of a great ancient practice called Dasha Shalana, the eight yogic churnings, where you work out all the big joints in your body, which is a standing practice. Again, doesn't really take that long. So, you know, do a physical practice that's right for you and just feel like you've kind of worked the kinks out and you're ready to, you know, sit and work on your breathing.
Okay.
And then, you know, for breathing practice, you can try Durga Pranayama, which is three-part breath. First you start focusing on your natural breath, and then you start to emphasize the swelling out of your belly for a few breaths, and then start to add the feeling of your ribs swelling out to the sides as your breath moves from your belly to your ribs, and then add the sense of your chest lifting as your breath moves from your belly to your ribs and to your upper chest. And basically there's a sense of kind of inhaling up and out, and then exhaling down and in. And that's a good way of just kind of drawing your attention inwards and focusing on your breath. And there's a Jai Pranayama, which is ocean-sounding breath. Just gently constrict your throat like you would when you're fogging a mirror. And then use that subtle ocean sound as a way of, you know, focusing your mind. So there's just kind of a washing in and a washing out sound.
Yeah. I just learned that technique recently and have been practicing that.
Cool. Yeah. No,
yeah, I really like it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and it's something that, you know, can be a really subtle sound. So it's kind of an inward, again, the sense of drawing your attention inward. It doesn't need to be like a, you know, big crash and wave sound. It can just be really something that only you can hear. And then there's Nadi Sodhana, which is alternate nostril breathing, which is supposed to help balance your thoughts and your emotions. There's another great practice called Brahmari, which is bumblebee, which is you close your ears with your fingers and you hum. And so on your exhale, you're humming until you've kind of run out of breath, and then you inhale, and then as you exhale, close your ears and hum until you run out of breath. And there's something about that specific practice that's really good at just kind of clearing the static out of your head. So that's a good one in terms of like a breathing practice to just get you ready to meditate.
Okay, so this isn't the meditation yet. So what is
not
the
even
meditation?
No, so yeah, right. So it works kind of like a yoga class, right? You start with movement, and then you do breathing, and then finally meditation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's kind of the journey inwards is through those three channels,
uh-huh.
You know, kind of the gross physical body, and then the more subtle sense of your, you know, your breath, and then finally that still center of meditation when you've got your mind quiet. You know, when you're done with your breathing practice, you shift to some kind of meditative focus. So you could, you know, if you want to look at a candle flickering, you know, that can work. You know, can chant Om aloud or silently or repeat a mantra. You know, there's a heart-opening chant, which is Yam. So just, you know, chant Yam either silently or aloud and imagine your heart opening. Yeah, which is nice. That's a nice, simple.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's you know, the metta meditation, Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, may all beings be happy and be free. So you can look that up, metta, M-E-T-T-A. But it's this idea of, you know, an expanded circle of loving kindness from your loved ones out to pretty much everybody you know and then the entire planet. So that's, you know, a nice, another nice kind of heart-opening meditation practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then another simple one is just an inhale sat, the thought, or you can actually, you know, vocalize sat and ham on the exhale to anchor your mind, which just means I am that. This idea that it's enough just simply to be. You know, you don't need to do anything or be anything else other than
mm-hmm.
you are.
Right. Yeah, very nice. So, is that it? Just 5 to 10 minutes can change your mood for the whole day?
Yeah, that's it. Actually, it honestly doesn't even take that long. I mean, what happens is you start to become more expert at it so that you can just close your eyes, turn your attention inwards, and focus on your breath for like 3 long, you know, easy breaths, and you can just kind of recenter. But this daily practice thing, you know, in terms of actually doing a practice rather than just kind of resetting, 5 to 10 minutes. You know, if you want to give it 15, that's cool, but it doesn't really need to take that long at all. So, you know, it's basically a mini yoga practice. You know, this idea of pratyahara, with withdrawal of the senses, is where, you know, I think by turning our mind's attention from the outside world to the inside world, this is how we start to cultivate the sense of inner peace. Because you're no longer asking, you know, what do I need to do next? But just what do I feel like in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a practice of, you know, yoking your mind, your body, and your breath together and tethering your consciousness to the present. And, you know, instead of really what happens, you know, for most of us is that if we're not doing that, you know, if we're not kind of intentionally grounding ourselves with some kind of mindfulness practice, our mind is just going to race off and drag us away from this moment with thoughts of whatever. And so that's really what mindfulness is. It's a practice of awareness with acceptance, this, you know, this state of consciousness that's, you know, alert. You're not asleep, but you know, you're just in a place of openness and acceptance to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think interestingly, you know, when people talk about meditation, you know, you think, well, we're going to just stop thinking, but that's not actually the way it works. The way it works is you start to just accept that you have thoughts and feelings, and you learn to just sit with them without feeling compelled to act on them. And this little distance, you know, this awareness that your thought is just an object in your consciousness, not who you are or a mandate of something to do, allows you to just carry kind of your thoughts and feelings more lightly and not have
mm-hmm.
them take over your consciousness and kind of own you.
Right. So it's non-judging awareness.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned earlier that there's a lot of research about the benefits of mindfulness. So how is doing daily yoga, a daily yoga practice, different than sitting and meditating in terms of the benefits?
Well, right. So, I mean, if you can sit and meditate, you know, if you, that's how you want to practice mindfulness, that's cool. You know, in some ways, yoga is really meant as a warm-up for meditation. So the idea being that you need to kind of work the kinks out of your body before you can sit and meditate and then quiet the mind. Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, which is one of the founding texts of yoga, teaches the eight-limbed path, and pretty much that's what it says. You know, work the kinks out, become aware of the breath, quiet the mind, and begin to associate with the bliss within. So one of the cool things about this daily practice is, you know, you can achieve that state of consciousness quickly. And, you know, you're also getting, it's good to just move the body. You know, I mean, that's, research shows that too. Like,
right.
Get up from your desk a little bit. But, you know, I found that if I'm, you know, if I'm stiff and I'm going through that vinyasa, you know, I'll hit a certain pose and I'll be like, you know, I'm just going to hang out here for a while. And, you know, there is a real physical benefit for just working those kinks out. That's not, you know, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to have a sense of bliss and equilibrium when, you know, you have a muscle spasm and you're not
right.
Walking right, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So any final thoughts on this? This all sounds really great.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's worth trying the daily practice for a week and see how that works for you, see how it makes you feel for the rest of the day. And then, you know, another way of kind of threading it into the rest of life is, you know, when you're feeling like you're not being mindful, you know, there's a moment of stress, you know, like you said, you're sitting in traffic or something else is going on. You know, see if you can just take a moment and, you know, you're at a red light, close your eyes, take a few slow breaths, and just notice what your body feels like, what your breath feels like. And use that practice as a way of cultivating the sense of well-being. You know, the more
mm-hmm.
we practice turning inwards, the more that sense of inner peace will become the new normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a nice, that's really nice to be able to have that throughout the day. So.
Yeah, right. That's no longer, no longer have stress be the normal, which is, you
yeah.
know, kind of is for most of us, you
mm-hmm.
know, and then it, you can just keep dialing it down and feeling more and more grounded and more content, even, you know, even in moments of stress. I mean, that's one
mm-hmm.
of the kind of interesting side effects of this. You know, if you're, you know, you're having a really stressful phone call, you know, focus on your breath and just take really long, slow, calm breaths. And you'll just notice that the call won't be as stressful. You know, the stress won't stick to you the same way as if you didn't
mm-hmm.
do that.
Mm-hmm. So Steve, if people are in your area in Westchester, New York, and they're interested in taking some of your classes or your workshops, how can they do that? How can they find out about it?
So you can find me at yogashivaya.com, which is Yoga Shivaya in Tarrytown, where I teach. And, you know, I also teach this workshop on using yoga to cultivate happiness, which puts in practice a lot of the things that we've been talking about over
mm-hmm.
the series of interviews. You know, if somebody wants to reach out to me about teaching a workshop or you know, anything having to do with yoga, you can reach me at kanesteve@me.com, which is kanesteve@me.com. And I appreciate you talking to me tonight.
Yeah, okay. And if somebody has a group and they want to have you come speak with them or teach a workshop, are you able to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you can tell I'm really passionate about this, so I want to share this with as many people as possible.
Great. All right. And I just need to contact you. And, of course, I'll be posting all of this on my web post about this show on my website later tonight, so people can just find it right there.
Excellent.
So thank you so much for coming back on the program. I am re-inspired to do more practices in the morning and to stay consistent with it.
Well, it sounds like you're on it already, so it's great.
Yeah.
And, it's always great talking with you, so thanks for having me on.
Yeah, same here. And you have a good evening.
All right, you too, Mara.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. Stick around. We have more to come, so don't go anywhere.
Worry about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years right here on Blog Talk Radio and on drmarakarpel.com. And before I go on to talk about keeping your equilibrium and peace in the face of being compassionate at the same time to other people's pain, I just want to talk about news. So if you haven't tuned in before, just to let you know, I've just launched a face-to-face consulting service right here on the internet. And this is not psychotherapy, it's consulting. It's informational, it's support, it's coaching, and it is for people who might have found themselves recently in the role of caregiver and they don't know what to do next, or are forgetting to take care of themselves while caring for a loved one, or for someone maybe who wants to make a change in their life towards a new goal. Maybe you're newly retired and you want to share your gifts with the world, but you feel blocked or don't know how to take the next step. Or maybe you're not near retirement at all, but you're ready to take some new steps towards following your bliss. So this is about moving forward toward growth and happiness, and it's not meant to deal with depression and anxiety. For depression and anxiety, I recommend getting some counseling first, getting psychotherapy first until you're ready to do this part. But you can read more about it on my website, drmarakarpel.com, And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. And also, as always, you can go to my website, which I've been updating a little bit. It's a little more user-friendly. If you have been to my website, and if you go back now, you'll notice it's easier to get from one page to another. And we're going to be adding some more really cool things to the website, so keep checking back. We're making some changes on the website to make it a little more fun. And we have videos of the interviews that we've done in the studio here in Austin, Texas, since the beginning of January 2016. And so when guests have been in the studio, we videotaped it, and you can now see them on my website, the YouTube videos. And you can read all of my blogs from Huffington Post and Thrive Global. A few days ago, I posted the latest blog was published in Thrive Global. And so take a look at my website and you'll find my latest blog, or you can go to thriveglobal.com and put in a search for my name. And my book, The Passionate Life, Feeding Joy and Vitality at Every Age, will be available for purchase in 2018. And you can check out my website and my Facebook page for updates about it and previews from it. And you can check out my Facebook page at Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and also my dedicated page for the book called The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. All right. That's for the news. So I do want to talk about maintaining your equilibrium by being compassionate. I've been talking about compassion for the last few weeks because it's kind of been a theme lately that I've really been focused on in my thoughts and just in looking at my own life and my path in my life. And I think my path in my life is driven by compassion, and I think that has always been the case. And when I go off that path and I'm not really following the driver of compassion, I feel out of sorts. And I think compassion is something that is really important for all of us to include in our lives, to have compassion for people in our lives, compassion for people far away from us that we've never met, and to have compassion for ourselves. And when we do that, I think that the world can change. And, you know, I've been here listening to a lot and doing a lot of reading, and there's actually a belief, and I choose to believe that this is true, that it really only takes a small percentage of people on this earth maintaining that level, a high level of compassion, to actually make a tremendous, significant change on this earth. So if you think about, you know, our emotions and our thoughts as having a frequency or vibration, you know, we human beings as well as the earth and even inanimate objects, we all have a different, we all have a frequency, we all have a vibration. And humans, our vibration changes constantly. It depends on what we're thinking about and how we're feeling. So if our if we're feeling, if our emotions are sadness or anger, our vibration goes down. And you can feel that in terms of your energy level, that you and even the words we use to describe it will say that I'm feeling down, I'm feeling depressed. Well, depressed means decreased in frequency. It's lower. Depression is lower. So when we're down or angry, we have a lower frequency and we don't have the energy to do things, and we don't feel creative. We're not able to create new things and use our abilities in the best way. When we're up, we even use that word. We're emotionally feeling up. We're happy. We're joyful. Our frequency is up. We have a higher level of energy. We're more creative. We're more able to create things. And one of those high energy feelings is compassion. When we feel compassion, caring for other people, then it raises our own frequency and our own energy level. And if you have a number of people at that higher level of energy or frequency or vibration, it actually changes the vibration of the earth that we're on. We all affect each other. We're all connected. So having compassion actually changes the way things are going in the world. So what is compassion? Compassion is not the same thing as sympathy. I mean, it's related. It's understanding that somebody else is having pain and allowing them in their pain to be who they are, to feel some of that pain ourselves, and to want to be there for them, whether it's just sitting and holding space for them, as Megan Devine talked last week about grief and holding space for somebody, or actually going and volunteering and doing something to help them. So that's compassion. We see somebody that we don't even know. We watch the news and we see somebody that we don't even know who is suffering. We have that desire to help them. That is compassion. When our heart is open, when our heart is closed, we don't feel for them. We say, that person is different than me, and I don't have any need to help them. That represents a closed heart. It's a lack of compassion, and that's a lower frequency. And so not only are we not helping that person, and we're not helping the whole earth and humanity because we're not adding a high vibration, but would also affect our own life. When we close down to other people, our own vibration is low and we don't have that energy and excitement and exuberance for life. So compassion is really, really an important emotion for the survival of humanity, especially with all of the stress that's happening in this world. And for survival for ourselves. But the dilemma, the challenge is to have compassion without absorbing the pain and holding on to the pain of other people, or absorbing our own pain and holding on to it. And that creates suffering. And if you listened last week, we talked about the difference between pain and suffering, that pain is something that we can't make pain go away necessarily, right? Especially emotional pain. We can't just fix it. You know, a lot of people want to fix it. They take medication or they take drugs or alcohol to try to fix pain if you've lost somebody that you love. But it's only a temporary fix, because as soon as it wears off, the pain is back, and sometimes even worse. So suffering is what you do with that pain. If you allow it to cause you more, to expand into your whole life and allow you to bring down your vibration, so to speak, it's suffering. You're not able to do things in your life that bring you joy in spite of the pain. That's suffering. So how do we have compassion for other people and sit with their pain without creating suffering for ourselves? That's the challenge. You know, in my work, it involves sitting with people who are dealing with pain and frequently are suffering. And my job is to try to help to relieve the suffering, even if I can't take away their pain. And part of the way that I do that is by having compassion, is by letting them know that I understand your pain. And by doing that, I'm holding a space for their pain, and that actually has a big effect in relieving some of the suffering that they're feeling, that they know they're sharing, that somebody understands them. And my dilemma at the end of the day, when I listen to maybe 5 or 6 traumatic stories, when I talk to veterans with PTSD, my dilemma is often how to do this without beginning to suffer myself and come home and not feel that pain. And, you know, we all come in contact with people who are in pain, and it's important for us to understand that challenge, but not close our hearts to avoid the pain, because that doesn't work. You know, last week I told this story, and I'm gonna tell it again because I think it's really powerful. Jack Kornfield told this story in his book, The Wise Heart, of a Hasidic rabbi, a very religious Jewish rabbi, who one day walked teaching both how they could tell when night had ended and day had begun, because certain holy prayers are said at daybreak. Is it, proposed one student, when you can see an animal in the distance and tell whether it is a sheep or a dog? No, answered the rabbi. Is it when you can clearly see the lines on your own palm? Is it when you can look at a tree in the distance and tell if it is a fig or a pear tree? No, answered the rabbi each time. Then when is it? The people demanded. It is when you can look on the face of any man or woman and see that they are your sister or brother. Until then, it is still night. That is compassion. That is compassion. When you can look at any man or woman and feel like they are your sister or brother. So, you know, I was thinking about this question today and then read the author Mark Nepo wrote the Book of Awakening, and every day is a different thing to think about, every day of the year. And so it just happened that today, what he had us think about was the two essential facts of life. Especially when we're dealing with pain. And number one is that we do not have to live this life alone. And number two, no matter the severity of our own circumstance, we have something to give to others. The fact of this, continued Nepo, does not invalidate our pain, but affirms our worth, that even in pain, we can be of value. We all live somewhere between nothing and everything, and to reenact along the way the smallest gesture of valuing your life is to carry out God's work. So it's a two-step formula that he recommends: bestowing compassion and generosity towards other people, even when we're in pain. So if we can, even when we have pain about something, if we can see that somebody else has even more pain or has an even worse situation, and we can help them in some way by giving them something that they need, that we have, or giving them compassion and telling them we understand them, that helps us, that gives us a meaning in our life, even when we're in pain. And then secondly, giving compassion to ourselves and valuing our own life, taking care of our physical and emotional wellness. So Nepo asks that when we're in pain, we take a slow breath and allow our heart to bring to our awareness what small thing we have that we can offer others more in need of ourselves, whether it's food or money or compassion, time, service. And then we continue to breathe freely, and Nepo invites us to become aware of a gesture that we can give to our own body by which we can affirm ourselves as a person worth valuing. And perhaps that would be to eat a healthy meal, do some yoga or meditation, one of these practices that Steve Kane just talked about. Maybe it's something like wash our hair or savor a piece of chocolate or get a massage or massage our own aching feet. Whenever we can do, that signifies to ourselves that we are a person of value. And he says to then take another breath, breathing in, affirming our value as a person, and breathing out and offering our gifts to the world. So in doing this, we are able to better maintain our equilibrium while being compassionate towards other people, maintaining compassion with ourselves. So these practices that Steve just spoke about, having a daily practice every morning, doing yoga, doing some breathing, doing some meditation, whatever it is to bring us to a place of peace, can help us to open our hearts throughout the day and have compassion. And it also helps us to remain peaceful throughout the day. And if we fall apart while we help other people, then we're not going to be able to continue to help other people. We're going to lose our ability to maintain compassion if we don't take care of ourselves. So both of these sides are equally important, that it's important to take care of our brothers and sisters around the world and in our own family. But it's also important to take care of ourselves at the same time, or we can't be there for them. And I think anybody who is a caregiver can relate to this, because if we're constantly caring for another person and don't take care of ourselves, a caregiver will develop what's called caregiver burnout, and they no longer are able to open their heart anymore for that person and will become physically ill. So in order to maintain that high vibration that I just spoke about, we need to do both, to have compassion and to take care of ourselves. And just to end here, there's Jack Kornfield, in his book, A Lamp in the Darkness, he gives some meditations to help people go into a rough time. And I think that this one is especially good for people who are maintaining compassion for other people and want to do this without becoming pain, absorbing the pain. So he has, in this meditation, he has you sit on the earth, sit on the ground, and imagine that you're releasing the pain that you've absorbed from others and our own suffering into the earth, which is our home, knowing that the earth will transform it. And this will help us to remain peaceful. And then it's a whole meditation, and I do recommend that book. There's even a CD that you can listen to him guiding you through it, The Earth is My Witness meditation. And at the end, and this is something that he talks about, he says that you're going to feel this way. I turned it into an affirmation that I now say every day. And so the affirmation that I took from this is, let my body be solid like a mountain and my mind open like the sky. May I rest on the earth like a Buddha, an enlightened human, and become acquainted with my capacity to witness all that arises and to remain centered and stable and steady in the midst of it all. So we become compassionate, stable, steady witnesses, filled with compassion and filled with peace at the same time. All right. So I hope that you'll take these practices that I've talked about and that Steve has talked about and use it. Practice, you know, try it, because it will make a big difference in how you feel throughout the day and in how you treat other people throughout the day. So on that note, we're going to start playing some music of our next guest, and then we're going to play the interview from that I just recently did with the Mona Lisa twins, who are in Liverpool, England, and they talk about their latest project, and here's some of their music.
I'm out of fashion, I'm out of style, I'm out of my mind, that's almost a mile, but I'm still into something good, I'm in it for love. Feel out of date in these peculiar times, feel out of touch with the world and its crime, but I'm still into something good, I'm in it for love.
Guests who are joining us from Liverpool, England, the Mona Lisa twins, Mona and Lisa Wagner. Good evening. Welcome back, Mona and Lisa.
Hello. Good to be back.
So, how have you been? Last time we spoke was in December of 2016. What have you guys been up to?
Oh, where do we start? So that's nearly, is it 9 months? Crazy, nearly 10 months. And I think mainly we've spent the time recording a new album and getting everything ready for the release. And we've said this for years, that the album is going to come out soon, but it's crazy that finally it's out now. And after all those months and years of working hard, it's...
Congratulations.
Happening. Thank you.
And... Yeah, I've been watching you on your newsletters. Sounds like
mm-hmm.
you guys have been really busy.
Yeah, it really was a kind of a unique chapter in our lives, because usually we've always been putting out YouTube videos and playing shows and things like that. But for the last year or something, we really kind of stopped playing live, and we just spent the time in the studio and not really been... doing much that we can show people, but now finally that the album's out, we finally have something that people can actually listen to and watch, so that's a really good feeling.
Yeah, I bet. So let's back up a little bit, just briefly, since, you know, some people might not have heard you the last time you were on. Just give us a little bit of background about your musical history.
Okay, so we were born in Austria, as you might be able to hear from the accent, very close to Vienna in a little village, and We always grew up in a very musical household with our dad running a recording studio and us really being into everything kind of creative. And yeah, we started picking up instruments pretty early on and been making music together ever since. We're twins, so we like to sing harmonies and all those things that came relatively natural. Just because we've always had each other and to practice and things like that, and we were on long car rides that otherwise would have gotten quite boring if we wouldn't have been singing.
Uh-huh.
If the Game Boy ran out of batteries, we to singing. That's what we did in our childhood. So yeah, we've always been very interested in music, and then started writing our own songs and together with our dad, who's also a musician. And we've kind of built this, we take cottage industry from creating music videos and songs that we then put on YouTube and covering our favorite tunes, and built an audience that way, and then moved to Liverpool, and lots of crazy things happened in the last few years, and we ended up now releasing our second album.
All right. So,
compressed into...
And is the album out now? Is it already available for sale?
If you're airing this on the 29th, then it's coming out, or after the 29th, then it's already been out. So yeah, the release date is the 29th of September.
Okay, great. And I'm looking at your artwork on your album cover. Who did your artwork?
We actually did that ourselves, because like Lisa mentioned, we're quite independent. We're not signed with any labels, so all we do is done by us two and our parents, really. We are a very family-run business, and we did that shoot in our kitchen. We cleaned out the kitchen and just put plastic everywhere, and then started throwing paint around and taking
it's still great.
Of orange dye on the fruit bowls and things like that. So if we clean something up, we still find some of that orange.
I bet.
Yeah.
It's
really
a great cover. So we just played, when we came on before we started talking, we played the song Waiting for the Waiter. So In It for Love.
Yeah, In It for Love was when did we start writing this? We started writing this sometime last year. Actually, while we were on holidays in Lanzarote on the Canary Islands, we completely shut ourselves off from the internet and kind of all the touristy places, and just rented an extremely nice house in the middle of nowhere and started writing for the new album. And In It for Love was one of those that started and originated there. And it's one of my favorites. I'm Lisa now speaking. And it's probably my favorite of the album. And I think also because we did go quite introspective. Is that a word? We did go quite kind of into talking about things that we usually haven't talked about in music so far. And as you might be able to hear with some of the other songs, but this song for me kind of rounded all those crazy thoughts, criticism of all sorts of them. And brought it back to, yeah, no matter how kind of crazy the world is, we're still just in it for love and for all the positivity. So this is one of those short, sweet songs that for me captures just the good things about life and about what we do and how we enjoy this journey we're on.
We all need that, right?
That's true, especially at oh my God, are you guys, did you guys get affected by the flooding? Is everyone okay?
Yeah, we're fine here in Austin.
Okay,
we just had some rain.
We kind of watched from the distance, obviously. And
yeah, Houston got hit hard, and along the coast. So we're going to play, Art signaling me that we're going to play the second song, Waiting for the Waiter. So what is the full title of that song?
It's Waiting for the Waiter.
It's Waiting for the Waiter.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about it before we play it?
Yeah, sure. And this song is especially special for us because we have John Sebastian play blues harp on it. And John Sebastian is actually the founding member and singer-songwriter of the Lovin' Spoonful from the 60s.
Yes.
And quite a few big hits, so I'm sure everyone knows the songs, even though they might not be familiar with the name. But
yeah, from the Welcome Back Potter series.
Yeah, he did that song. Exactly, yeah. So yeah, he agreed to play and blues up on two of the tracks, which we're still completely stoked about because he's absolutely one of our favorite songwriters and musicians. He's such a good multi-instrumentalist and has a great feel for the blues as well, which is perfect for this song because it's a very bluesy one.
Yeah, awesome. So we're going to play that right now. And don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, okay? We'll talk a little more. Were the Mona Lisa twins singing Waiting for the Waiter. So Mona and Lisa, what are you doing next? What's next on your schedule?
So now that the album is out, it's first of all a huge relief, but it's not really going to slow down now. So we have loads of videos planned, loads of new projects, and kind of getting the word out about it now and kind of take it from there. We have not planned any live shows yet, but we'll see what we're going to put in place now. And now it's kind of like finally breathing a little bit, making sure that we're still intact, that all that everything's still alright.
Sure.
The last been crazy, but no, we're so happy that this is out, and we can't wait to now head on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to say too much, but we've already got 20 new projects planned. But
wow.
The most out of the orange wave.
So if listeners are interested in hearing your music or finding out what you're doing or buying your music, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, we always send people to our website, which is definitely the most direct way to get in touch with us and to get our music. And it's also the cheapest, so you can, of course, get our music on eBay and iTunes and all those usual places. Yeah, but tell them what they're actually called. But yeah, our website is www.monalisatwins.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll find all the information there.
Okay, great. And I'm going to post that on my web post about this show.
Yes, please. Thank you.
And can they also sign up for your newsletter there?
Of course, yeah. It's all there. We've got sign-up forms and also.
All right. Great. So before we go, we're going to be playing the third song that you sent to us on our way out this evening. So before we stop the interview, can you tell us about it? It is Club 27.
All right. So we thought we'd completely mix it up and throw a very rock song in there as well for the three songs on the interview. And this one's actually one that Mona sings and lead vocals on, so do you want to say something? Yeah, it's kind of probably the most raw song on the album. We really wanted to write sort of a garage rock, 60s rock song. It's about this 27 club in the 60s where all those legendary musicians died at such a young age. It's become kind of a, not conspiracy theory, but a mystic age where a lot of really good artists sadly passed away. So we wanted to write something about that and capture also the essence of a lot of those guys and women in that circle. So that's what this is about.
Okay, great. So we're going to play that in a little bit. And I want to thank you for coming back onto the program.
Of course, thanks for having us.
And good luck. Good luck with the launch of your new album.
Thank you.
And all the things that you're doing, it sounds like you're busy.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to you again with the next project.
Stay in touch.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. And that was a really fun interview with the Mona Lisa Twins. Okay. And we're going to play that last song on our way out. But before we do, let me tell you what's happening next week. Next Sunday, October 22nd, we'll be back with another great show, and we'll have therapist, Asperger's and Internet Addiction Specialist, and author of the books Internet Addiction, Kicking the Habit, A 30-Day Plan to Take Back Your Life, and the book Is Your Child Addicted to Electronics, 30 Days of Healing and Recovery for Your Child and Family. Nathan Driscoll, and he'll be joining us from Houston to talk about internet addiction. Very big, growing problem. We don't really think of it as an issue, but it is becoming one. And Laura Galazunas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, as the winter visitors are starting to come back. And we'll have more. We always have something more, music and interesting topics. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, get the links that to the websites that my guests spoke about this evening, find out about upcoming shows, listen to previous programs, read my blog, watch my videos, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and the new page, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. And You can hear this evening's program again in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/golden years. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Steve Kane and the Mona Lisa Twins. And, of course, thank you to Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.